All right, so today I'm going to talk a little bit about our project called La Vida Sana, La Vida Feliz, which is called Healthy Life, Happy Life. As Lisa mentioned, I have no relationships to disclose. As Lisa mentioned, I work at Erie Family Health Center, which is a FQHC in Chicago. We believe healthcare is a right, not a privilege, and so we work with mostly uninsured or underinsured Chicago residents. The services that we provide there's a wide range of them. Aside from providing medical services, we also have an HIV/AIDS program called Lending Hands for Life that provides support services for those patients. We have school-based health centers in grade schools and in high schools in Chicago. We also have two dental clinics and then provide case management services, do community outreach, and then have a, I like to say, pretty robust health promotion department. I wanted just to give you some context of Humboldt Park, because this is the neighborhood that the program was presented in. As you can see on the map, this is a little diagram of Chicago, and that red little area is Humboldt Park. So we're on the west side. It's a predominantly Mexican, Puerto Rican, and African American population. 35% of adults in this neighborhood are obese. Only 1 in 3 of adult females are moderately active, and 30% of overweight adults and 10% of obese adults in Humboldt Park perceive themselves as under or normal weight, and that will come up later in the discussion relating to barriers of our project. Diabetes, also, like I've been hearing in several presentations over the last few days, so this is nothing new, but diabetes prevalence is also very high in this neighborhood. So in Humboldt Park, it's actually at 14%. Westtown is another neighborhood where we have health services provided, and then there's the statistic for Chicago. So as you can see, based on the overweight, obesity rates, sedentary lifestyle, and diabetes prevalence, providers at Erie really felt like this was a problem that needed to be addressed. And so a funding proposal was submitted to HRSA, and we were funded several years ago for this project. Since then, we've been able to sustain our program. And so as I'm talking to you today, the program has evolved, I would say, since our initial funding. So I'll be presenting kind of what we found and what we have been continuing to find since our funding expired in 2009. When it was initially proposed and developed, we worked very closely with the Greater Humboldt Park Community of Wellness. This is a coalition of agencies within Chicago or within Humboldt Park that really care about the health and wellness of its citizens. And so that was a wonderful partnership and resource that was very useful in the development and implementation of our program. So what is the program? This is just a brief description of what La Vida Sana, La Vida Feliz is. We target non-pregnant women ages 18 and over with BMIs over 25 in the Humboldt Park community, and we really focus on increasing physical activity, improving overall wellness, and trying to reduce obesity. The age limit is 18 and over. When we initially received the funding, it was more those childbearing years, but we actually kind of changed the criteria to have no upper age limit in order to allow for any woman that wanted to participate. We felt like that would kind of bring an interesting dynamic to the group. So as a result, we had at one time a group of women, the youngest being 18 and the oldest being 81. And I think that really brings into that the whole community support aspect of the group. Having different ages of women, I think, has been a real asset to the program. So our goal was really just to reach 200 low-income Latino women through this program. I'll go into a little bit more depth in the next few slides about what we did. And then also do community outreach in order to be able to provide residents with information, exercise classes, and resources. Our objectives are listed there. Really, we were looking to see improvements in cholesterol, waist circumference, knowledge, and activity habits related to nutrition and exercise. When we first developed this program, I wanted to make sure that the program, there was some cultural competency, that it was relevant to the patients that we serve. So we really went out to seek a lot of input. That Greater Humboldt Park Community of Wellness I mentioned was a tremendous asset. And then other partnering agencies within Humboldt Park, we worked in order to get their expertise and input in developing the curriculum. We use a promotora model or a lay health educator, which I feel like that has been a very important aspect in the success of the program. And then we actually developed an advisory council after our first cohort met back in 2007. We took some of those women that were interested and created this advisory council in which we had them give us feedback on the topics, the content, the materials, recipes, just so that we can continue to improve our program, and we use their input in tweaking it as we move forward with the implementation. So I know there's a lot of text on this slide, and I apologize, but just to kind of give you a summary of what we do, the group meets 8 sessions total. We meet every other week. So in the end, it's 14 weeks, again, led by a promotora. And really the goal is to receive practical information, not have me, you know, or the educator up just speaking to them and lecturing, but really do a lot of hands-on activities. That's our emphasis in the program. So talking about nutrition and exercise, healthy cooking, grocery shopping, stress management, and getting people engaged in the activities. We do that through activities that are mentioned here. We're fortunate to have a grocery store across the street, which has a pretty decent-sized produce section. And so we bring them across the street and do like a grocery store scavenger hunt in which we ask them to go search out and find like a whole grain pasta or go find like a vegetable you've never tried before. But getting them to kind of take the information that they're learning in the groups and then apply it into their real lives. We play exercise bingo or we do dance class, really just trying to give them tools to make healthy lifestyle choices. Give them the tools and information that they need so that they can then leave the group and continue on. We don't talk about this as a diet, and we don't really emphasize weight loss, but rather just, again, those what we've heard about so often, you know, small steps, making small steps to achieve a larger goal. And goal setting really is emphasized within this program. At the very first onset of the program, women would attend an orientation session. They set a goal for themselves for the duration of the program, and then at each session they develop like a small measurable goal for themselves, and the promotora checks in with her on the phone in the off weeks. And that's an aspect that when we developed it, I thought might be somewhat annoying for the participant to have someone calling, like, are you eating your fruits and vegetables? Are you exercising? But really we found that to be one of the most favorite parts of the program based on some of our surveys that we did, and that the participants felt that someone cared for them, that there was some accountability there, and we found that to be a really important piece of our program. The other picture is the picture of our potluck that we do in the last session. We have a graduation where they receive a certificate. They receive a 10-pound bag of fresh fruits and vegetables and recipes to go along with the fruits and vegetables. And then we encourage the women to bring food in, often asking them to tweak a favorite recipe that they've been making for years, but make it in a more healthful way. In addition to that formal program, we also do a lot of community outreach. So we have a weekly exercise class at Erie, and the intent of that is to really teach women how to exercise in their homes. Safety is a big concern in this neighborhood. Women do not feel safe walking outside. Also, they don't belong to a gym or health center, and so we offer this exercise class and use very little equipment so that they could then take this that they're learning in the class and do it at home. Also, about 2 years ago, we created a DVD in Spanish and in English, beginner, intermediate, and advanced levels of a DVD so that women can take that home as well to exercise. We do community workshops and classes. In our most recent grant year that ended in August, we actually did 176 programs within the community and educating anywhere, like in churches, the Mexican consulate, WIC offices, Head Start programs, really just anywhere in the community that wants the information, our promotora goes. And then we also have a monthly calendar that details free wellness programs. This is an example of one in September, and it looks very crowded on the screen. We print it out onto larger paper and send it out to our community partners, our participants. We have it in our exam rooms, really with the idea of women gain this information in our groups, and then here are some opportunities to then go out and exercise, or when's the next produce meal coming to the YMCA so they can have some fresh fruits and vegetables for free. And so we provide this as a way to increase the amount of resources that are available to them. In terms of evaluation, we do a lot of evaluation. When we received the funding, we knew the funding wouldn't last forever, and so we wanted to make sure that we had an evaluation plan that would give us data so that we could then go elsewhere for funding sources. And so we do collect a lot of pre- and post-test data related to self-reported physical activity and nutrition behaviors. We also have a knowledge quiz. We have women kind of give self-reported confidence scores on making behavior change, their emotional health and physical health. We have them fill out the PHQ-9, which is a measure of their emotional health over the previous 2 weeks. And then we also collect cholesterol, triglyceride, and hemoglobin A1C levels before the program and then at the end. And then we also, in addition, at midpoint, we collect weight, waist, and blood pressure so that we have 3 collection points during the program for the weight, waist, and blood pressure. And then we invite them back 3 months and 6 months past the program and then take weight, waist, and blood pressure again. So since 2007, we've had 1,200 participants, and of that, 530 graduates. So you can see retention sometimes is a challenge, which I think is true for a lot of programs. But we have seen increases in healthy eating behaviors and knowledge. 81% of the women have lost weight, 71% have met cholesterol guidelines. 97% of graduates report increases in physical activity. We have them state whether they have been engaging in moderate physical activity 5 or more days a week. And then their patient health questionnaire score is improved by 52%. This is a little bit maybe difficult to see, but this is just the reduction in waist circumference. Again, while we don't emphasize like weight loss so much in our groups, we again talk about these healthy lifestyle changes. I think the waist circumference has been the most exciting one for the participants. They see it sooner sometimes than weight loss. And so I think that's really motivating for them to see like, oh, I just did these small changes and now halfway through the program I've lost, you know, an inch or two in my waist. And so we have found that 83% of women have lost at least 1 inch in their waist through the program. And then we've also seen some hemoglobin A1C scores, the mean score decrease. And so we found that that was an important piece of the program. We did a lot of focusing on prediabetes and diabetes management. It's kind of the new spin that we put on our program when we needed to look for new funding. So in addition to the nutrition piece, we also said, well, we'll do something for pre-diabetics. And so the emphasis for our providers was, you know, refer people that have pre-diabetes into our program. And then we saw a decrease in their hemoglobin A1C score. So some challenges that we've encountered, I don't think this is unique to us, especially since sitting through presentations the last few days. I think these are very common challenges. And so I won't go through all of them, but you can see what we did to address the challenges. So, you know, we've provided materials at no charge. We try to offer the program at a variety of times and locations. We provide childcare and transit cards. And we also provide behavioral health services through our behavioral health department for anyone that's interested. So we still did have some challenges that remained. While the Humboldt Park Clinic that I work out of does have the grocery store across the street, there's other aspects or areas of Humboldt Park that it's not so accessible to get healthy food. So that is a challenge that remained for some. And so kind of to address that, we give them information about using frozen vegetables or frozen fruit in smoothies and trying to give them alternative recipes. The cultural acceptance of a high BMI, like I mentioned before, the neighborhood, you know, they felt like they were normal weight. And so just trying to get them, the women, to just think more about health. And don't worry about the weight, but let's try to make some healthy lifestyle changes, not only for you, but for your family. In the interest of time, I want to just kind of wrap up, but knowing, I think what we learned through the program is that strong communication with providers for our referrals was really important. And that in addition to looking at some vital statistics, really looking at behavior change and satisfaction in the program is important. And we were able to successfully receive funding for 4 more years following our HRSA grant. As a way to continue on that funding, we've put on like a heart health focus into our program. We've done diabetes now into our program. We've developed a Levitasana prenatal program and Levitasana for couples as a way to kind of get new sources of funding. And then we've replicated the program at another community health agency within the Humboldt Park neighborhood. We offered it there in partnership with them, and then they applied for funding to be able to replicate it, and they were successful. We were recognized as a promising practice through AMCHP as a result of our work. And I'll just leave you with this. This is my last slide, but I think it's helpful to see a patient's perspective. They found that Levitasana helped me in a lot of different ways in taking care of myself and what I eat. I now eat more fruits and vegetables. I drink more water. Those little steps I took not only helped me to lose weight in inches, but also helped me to have the strength to believe in myself and do what is good for me and for my family. So, thank you.